What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 43, Superfoods, for February 19th, 2013. Today, our special guest is Dr. Judy Sandlin, a clinical assistant professor at Texas A&M University. There we go. Of course, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. With me today is...
Kaylin.
Karen.
Crystal.
Leslie.
Priscilla.
Claudia.
Susie.
And then Daisy, Lodim, and Monica are doing other jobs. And then, of course, our special guest is...
Dr. Judy Sandlin.
There you go.
Howdy.
All right, so if you want to connect with us, if you want to kind of join in the conversation, you can go to the todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast or the social stream on Ustream, and Susie is monitoring that and should be reading any comments or replying to your comments as they come through. And then also PHS Sports Med on Twitter is Claudia, and so if you have comments there, then hopefully she can see those and reply on there. So real quick about Dr. Sandlin. Can you find it?
What is it? The thing that I was on?
Finding the episode. Hang on. All right, so we'll get started in that. All right, so Dr. Sandlin is, like I said, all right, so I have it in one place, clinical assistant professor, and then I think you wrote clinical associate professor. Which one
right.
is correct? Which one's correct?
I'm actually a clinical associate professor, so I just recently got a promotion. Yay.
All right.
Hey, that just means you're getting older.
Not always, but.
Yeah.
Better. Getting better.
Better, I hope. There you go. Wiser.
There you go. All right, so a clinical associate professor at Texas A&M University.
That's correct.
She's been there for about 27. You said been at A&M for 27 years?
Well, I've been teaching in higher education for about 27 years, probably about close to 8 or 10 at A&M.
All right, so about, we'll just say, 8 to 10 years at A&M and 27 years in higher education.
That's correct.
All right, so just a few little interesting things about Dr. Sandlin. She likes going to Colorado with her husband, where they like to hike, mountain bike, camp, snowshoe, and ski. That's something we obviously have no idea about down here in Pasadena.
That's right. We woke up this morning, and it's a little cooler outside, so it almost feels like Colorado.
Almost, huh?
Yeah.
When you go to Colorado, is there something, like, do y'all have a second home up there? Do you have a favorite vacation spot? Or
we are actually very fortunate that we do have a second home in Colorado, kind of in the Colorado Springs area. And we're fortunate to have, through the years, because we're close to Colorado and being in Texas, that we can get up there kind of frequently. And through the years, we just sort of fell in love with the mountains and, again, have been fortunate to have a house up there since about the middle of 2000, like 2005, I think. And when we bought our little house in a little town called Victor, Colorado, it's up 10,000 feet. My dad, I came back through Texas, and he's like, well, what about air conditioning? Because everybody was asking about the house. And I was like, Dad, it's at 10,000 feet. You don't need air conditioning. So people in Texas don't understand the summer without air conditioning. But when you get up that high, it's pretty cool during the summer. So,
yeah,
very nice.
All right. I've been to Colorado twice, I think. And, yeah, it's quite different.
Once, you see a lot of Texans up there in the summer. I don't know why.
Probably because you don't need AC.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple of things we want to mention before we really get into the topic of superfoods is we're going to thank Kim Hill and Mr. Robert DeWolf from the summit, because they donated some chairs to our classroom. So now we're not sitting on metal chairs with little cushions. So again, I want to tell them thank you for doing that. And then our time changes again this week. We have a podcast tomorrow. We could have started at 10:15 because we have 6 weeks testing this week. So they've changed our schedule back to normal for this week. But I think we're going to, for the remainder, most of the year, we're going to start about 10:30. So if you're listening regularly, then it'd be best to follow on Twitter and find out when the start time is, because apparently it changes from week to week. I've been reading a book from Brian Elaine. He's a community win, so it's been real helpful on how to build up the community and trying to encourage me to like set goals and build from there. So you know, check it out. It's free on Kindle, So you got a free ebook on Kindle.
They can't hear it.
They can't hear it all?
Monica said it only sounds staticky, and Dog sent me that he can't understand anything, and your wife sent me the same thing.
Can't understand anything on Ustream at all?
Yeah, like it sounds like staticky.
All right, so our live stream is having a problem. I'm not quite sure what the deal is, but we'll get started here, and then we'll go from there. All right, so you've told us, Dr. Sandlin, just a little bit about your background. Why don't you go ahead and tell us, you know, where are you originally from, college and that kind of thing, and
okay. We'll go from there. I actually grew up in North Louisiana, so my parents were both from Texas, so I always say I was a Texan that spent the first 23 years in Louisiana. I have a teaching degree from Louisiana Tech University, and did student teaching in health and physical education, and then left Louisiana and headed to Texas. I have a master's degree from Baylor University, and probably when I was at Baylor was the first time I really thought seriously about wanting to teach at the college level. And so stayed in the Waco area where Baylor is for several years, and ended up getting a degree in the early 90s from Texas A&M in kinesiology. And like we said earlier, have been in higher education since then. So I've been real fortunate to teach at some very small local schools. So I taught at a junior college for a while, kind of part-time, a small historically black college university in the Waco area, and then some of the universities that your students will have heard of, Sam Houston State University, Stephen F. Austin. And then my husband and I spent several years in Virginia, and so we were real fortunate to be on the East Coast for a while and then came back to Texas A&M several years ago. So he also teaches in higher ed and teaches at A&M. So we both love teaching. We really feel like we're very student-centered teachers. I think one of the questions you had written to me is, what does it mean to have clinical in front of your name? And at A&M, basically it means that I was hired there to come and teach. And so I teach a fairly heavy teaching load compared to some of the other teachers at A&M. And I do it because I love teaching and love students and love seeing students learn and become productive citizens, make good decisions, you know, all the things that probably, Jeremy, while you're there, see students succeed.
Yep. That's right. We just recently had another grant funded on Donors Choose, and it's really cool for me to see people support me or support our class that aren't involved with it, and, you know, and so, like you said, just to see them succeed or to give them an opportunity to, you know, talk to professors at A&M or doctors, physical therapists, stuff like that is
it's really right for me. So the advantages of technology.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. And then just being willing to go out there and go after something, even if you know, like our Ustream, I think, is messing up right now.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if the live stream is coming through, but we're recording it on a couple different places, so I think we're okay there.
Okay.
But just going for it. All right, so she just answered that one in her previous one. So, all right, so do you have children?
My husband has a daughter that is 22 years old, just got married within the last year, and her husband live in New Jersey, actually, in Princeton, New Jersey.
So I was wondering, because you said you moved around a lot. And I'm,
sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was wondering how that did with kids, but if... So, okay, I was just wondering, because
how kids like or don't like moving around.
Yeah. I've pretty much lived in Houston my whole life, outside of about 1 month in Mexico where I was doing some volunteer work or whatever.
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty much... Oh, and I was in Virginia for a summer as a camp counselor, but that's about it.
There you go. So. Well, when I was in high school, I figured I would still be in my little town in Louisiana when I was my age. So I was fortunate to have parents that, you know, supported me going places and seeing different things. And so it's been fun. It's been good to be in different parts of the country, be in different parts of Texas and meet new people.
All right, very cool. Yeah. All right, so now we're going to get to some of the actual superfood talks. You guys ready? Did y'all find it over there? You're going to see the screen. We're good. All right, so we did a practice of all this yesterday so that you know, we would have all these little technical difficulties worked out, but apparently things aren't the same from one day to the next. So
That happens.
Yeah. All right, so Crystal, why don't you get us started with some superfood talk?
Can you give us a definition of superfoods?
Well, a superfood is actually a fairly new term that has kind of popped up in health and wellness and fitness circles. And probably the simplest definition of a superfood is that it's simply a very nutrient-dense food. And what I mean by that is that for the proportion of food that you have to eat and also for the amount of calories you get for a particular food, it packs a lot of nutrients. So let's say unlike a Coca-Cola that is a 12-ounce can that has a lot of volume or a decent amount of volume, it has very little nutritional value. But if you ate, let's say, 12 ounces of a superfood, you would be getting a lot of nutrients for that same amount of volume, and you would be getting them probably at less calories than, let's say, compared to Coca-Cola. So it's superfood, about the easiest definition, it's a very nutrient-dense food. Again, the consideration there is you get lower calories for a higher proportion of nutrients.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
What are your favorite superfoods?
Well, I kind of had a preview of some of the questions that you guys might ask. And as I kind of started going through them, the funny thing that I noticed is that I have a lot of them and I don't really have very many of them that I don't like. So I don't know what that says about me. I think it just says that I like to eat. But some of my favorite ones are strawberries, all the dark berries. So strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. All of those are really good. I really like yogurt. And you have to kind of be careful about yogurt because there's a lot of extra sugar in some yogurts. So you have to be careful about that. Nuts, all sorts of nuts, walnuts and almonds are pretty good superfoods. They have a lot of protein. They have a lot of they fill you up, so they're going to stick with you for a long time. And then a lot of the whole grain items. And then I tend to like really spicy food, and I don't know why, maybe from growing up in Louisiana and living a lot of years in Texas. But all the peppers, so the bell peppers and the yellow peppers and red peppers and jalapenos, all those are probably considered superfoods. But one of the things that's important with superfoods is how you prepare them. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But I like to add those peppers to a lot of my meals just because I like the heat. I like avocados are really good. So they have a lot of good nutrients for you for the calories that you actually get. And again, they have a lot of protein, so they kind of stick with you. So I have a really long list of superfoods that I actually like.
What are some of the worst ones you have tried?
Well, when I started going through my list, it all kind of came down to some of the fish. And a lot of fish products are considered superfoods. So I don't think I mentioned any of those in the list that I do like, but I like things like salmon. But some of the ones that I really don't care for are sardines. Have either of you guys or any of you guys ever eaten sardines?
I have.
Do you like them?
I do.
Oh, good for you. Yay. Tuna, for some real strange reason, I've never been a big tuna fan.
Me neither.
I think it was because when I was growing up, I had a best friend that every time I went over to her house, we had some form of tuna, like tuna casserole and tuna sandwich. And I don't know, I just was never a fan of tuna. And then I can't say that I really am a big fan of liver.
Now, oh, I hate that.
Yeah, I see some turned up noses there, so maybe we're on the same page with that. Mm-hmm. So most of the other ones I actually do like. Now, just because I like them, it doesn't mean that that's what I eat all the time. But those are some of the ones that are not really particularly my favorite, some of the fish and liver products.
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm anemic, the doctor said I had to eat liver, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. I think it's all in how you prepare it. So I think later on we're going to talk about disguising some of these foods. So I have some suggestions for you, like where you can kind of sneak some of these into your meals. But I don't know, with the some of the fish, I'm not sure that can be really sneaked in very well. Kind of has that that odor, no matter how you cook it, it's going to smell the same and maybe taste the same.
They also told me, since I'm anemic too, they told me to eat fish.
Okay, well, that's good for you. That's good for you. A lot of iron. That's what you need.
Yeah. So we talked to a registered dietitian. I'm sorry, I missed most of what you were saying there. I kind of heard some of it, but I had to replace a cable. So we talked to Dr. Wilson. Dr. Penny Wilson, she's a registered dietitian, and she was talking about fish. She said tuna was good because it was high in the omega-3 fatty acids, but most of the time, like the tilapia that I like to eat isn't really any good for me. What about, do you have any idea if that's high in iron?
Well, I think it is only certain fish. I know the salmon is pretty high in the omega-3, so when you get into some of the heart-healthy types of fish, those are the actual better fish, so like the salmon, the sardines, the mackerel, the tuna. I eat a lot of tilapia, so it's probably better for you in terms of not introducing into you a lot of the bad fats that come in some of the proteins, but I don't think it's going to have some of the omega-3 that you actually need. So yeah, you probably need to listen to your dietitian friend there.
Yeah, see, I don't like fish, so the things like salmon, I can't eat it, but those are the things that are apparently good for me. So I think if I was going to get the omega-3s, I'd have to go with a vitamin.
Yeah, and again, I think I've gotten older, have really tried to start cooking a lot more healthy, because I think as you get older, it becomes more important to you. I think when you're young, you're like, oh, I'm going to last forever, and I don't even need to think about, I can have nachos at every meal, and no big deal. But I've tried to start really kind of experimenting with lots of different spices and stuff. And so sometimes I think that actually can help some of the foods. But having said that, there's still some that are not my favorites.
I understand.
Tuna being at the top of the list.
Yeah. My wife is, I think she's making tuna casserole tonight, because she was trying to, she listens almost all the time. And so she was listening to Dr. Wilson and one of the things. And, you know, everybody's kind of talking about healthier foods right now.
Right.
And so it's one of those things where we're like, well, we'll give it a shot. So,
hey, so if she finds a good recipe, you have to send it to me.
That's good. Cause I should be a pretty good test person. Cause if it's fishy, I mean, she even cooked tilapia one time where it was, I'm not sure exactly what she did, but it was too fishy and I couldn't eat it. So I had to go, I think I made a peanut butter and jelly or something, but.
I know when I cook fish, my husband walks in and, you know, barely gets in the back door. Oh, we're having fish tonight. So he can smell it. So a couple of times I've managed to disguise the smell, and it's not quite as strong and fishy as other times. So maybe that's a little more palatable. Maybe it's a little easier to eat when it's not quite as strong.
Yeah, well, for some people, but just for me. So I'll let you know if
you find a good tuna recipe.
Yeah, or maybe more if she finds a good tuna recipe.
There you go.
All right, so I do have a couple questions. We were talking about specific superfoods. Now, we have really gotten into sweet potato fries, and I don't know if they've just come around or whatever, but we really like them. We just bake them in the oven.
Right.
And then we sprinkle, like, cinnamon sugar on there. And then it's really, really good. So I know when I sat in your session at Tafford, that you had sweet potato stuff there. And that was one of the big things that you kind of were saying, like carrots and sweet potatoes because of the orange or whatever. But what are your thoughts on sweet potato fries?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because over the probably about the last 4 months, I've begun using that same sort of recipe for even my regular French fries for my husband and myself. So you take a baking potato, whether it's a regular potato or a sweet potato, half it, and then you know, just dice it up kind of in the length and the width of your regular French fries. And then you have to have a really hot oven and got to, you know, probably use olive oil instead of some of the other types of oils that are not as good for you. But put those in, and they really have a great flavor. You can get a really good crunch on them. And, you know, the thing that's interesting about a sweet potato is, just look at the name, it is sweet. So I'm kind of, I'll make one regular potato French fry, one sweet potato French fry, fries out of both of those, and I'll give my husband all of the regular potatoes and about half of the sweet potatoes, and he'll eat them. I don't know that he would eat just the sweet potatoes and have no regular potatoes, but I can kind of sneak those in with them, and then I'll eat all the sweet potato fries. So I have actually recently, like you just said, found that recipe, and it's so much better than deep frying your French fries, or even buying the frozen ones, whether they're sweet potatoes or regular French fries, you know, out of the frozen section of the at the grocery store. So I'm a huge fan of those. And it's like you were saying, the, you know, one of the things I was going to say earlier, and I don't think I did say it, but a good idea for everyone is the more color you can have on the plate, the better. So the orange in sweet potatoes and pumpkins and carrots, or the green in your dark green vegetables and broccoli, or the red and the purple of the berries. So any of those colored foods, the more colorful, the better. So that's a great tip.
So the more colorful at each meal, the better. You got that?
Exactly. Okay. Every once in a while, I'll look down at my husband's plate and I'm like, tan, 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 and tan. I'm like, uh-oh, this isn't very good. So it's like some cornbread dressing, some mashed potatoes, and some chicken. And all of those are good, and that's not what he eats every night, but not much color on that plate.
Oh, I was going to say that my mom, well, because the doctor said I had to eat beets or something like that. They're like purple or red.
Mm-hmm, those are good for you.
Okay, well, I don't eat them, but my mom, she has, like, this machine that makes things into juice. So she puts that, and she puts carrots, and she puts grapefruit and oranges, and that's how I drink it. It doesn't
that's one of my sneaking it in tips. So yeah. I'm actually at my brother's house, kind of just north of Houston, and I got here the other night, and he had cooked some things on the grill, and his wife steamed some beets, and they were really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think she said she had purchased organic beets and just peeled them and steamed them, and they were good. I have to give her credit. I was skeptical, but she was making her my nephews that are 9 and 11 eat some, and I was like, well, there's really no way I can get out of this, so I'm just gonna dive right in. And as soon as I started eating them, I was like they're kind of almost like a, like, well, they're a little sweet, almost like candy. And so the boys, like, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. So they're actually really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've ever had beets specifically.
Yeah, I don't really recommend the ones out of a can, but the fresh ones. And then we actually had a conversation about beets because I thought I might talk about them today. And she's like, yeah, tell them to be sure and get the organic ones. And I'm not someone that buys a bunch of organic stuff, but perhaps in that, if I was going to eat those consistently, the organic might be a little bit better. Flavor-wise.
Oh, it might be better flavor-wise.
There you go.
Okay. All right. And then we talked to Dr. Wilson. She was like, you know, just make your own homemade peanut butter. And then I saw on Twitter somebody was mentioning one of the superfoods is, you know, peanut butter. We started making our own, and so my wife uses just peanuts, and then she'll put a little bit of like coconut oil or mm-hmm. and then a tiny bit of honey. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much all natural stuff. Mm-hmm. Why is peanut butter considered a superfood?
Probably particularly the homemade, and then even other things like almond butter. So you basically take the recipe that you just talked about and use almonds instead of that. And I've even seen people use cashews and walnuts. But any of those nuts, and again, you know, if you did some investigating, you could probably find some of the nuts that are probably a little bit better for you than even peanuts. But nuts in general have a lot of protein in them. And the proteins are going to be foods that will kind of stick with you and fill you up and stay with you longer and really satisfy you in terms of hunger. And then they do have a lot of vitamins and other items like we were saying, proteins that are actually really, really good for you. So the problem with commercial peanut butter is just the amount of processed sugar in the product. So a lot of the things that you can make that are homemade are probably going to be a lot better for you for that reason.
All right. So you've said you've done it with almond or cashews, or you just heard of people?
I've actually personally done it with almonds myself. It's kind of hard to make. So I've actually gotten to where I'll purchase the almond butter instead of making my own, just because it's much easier that way.
Yeah.
But it's very satisfying.
All right. Maybe we'll have to try almond or cashews next after we get good at the
Do a mix.
Or do a mix. Maybe we will.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, my wife, she's pretty proud of it, and it's good. And so my son likes it. Of course, you know, we have two young boys, so it's good for them to be eating the healthier things now rather than the store-bought peanut butter that's full of sugar and stuff. So
there you go.
Is it you next? Go ahead.
Are these foods we should eat sometimes, or should we try to eat them every day?
Well, I kind of tried to do some investigating into that, and it's like everything else. You know, moderation is the key. So it is best if you can eat, you know, three to five probably servings of your dark green vegetables, colorful vegetables, and fruits every day. Maybe have some fish a couple of times a week. And again, the key there is that you're getting those omega-3 fatty acids that are good for you for lowering cholesterol, lowering your risk of cardiovascular disease. But then you're just getting a leaner protein compared to like a hamburger or hamburger meat or ground beef or steak or something like that. And then, you know, maybe even some dairy, like some yogurt every day. But the thing about it is you have to have yourself on a plan, I would say. I don't want to say a diet, but something that you can do. So you have to have some treats every once in a while. You know, I happen to be probably a little bit different than a lot of people because I'm not really much of a sweet eater. But you put chips and hot sauce in front of me and get out of my way. So that's not something that I can let myself eat every day. But I don't just completely take it out of my diet. So I was actually with a friend yesterday, and we went and got some Tex-Mex. But I probably hadn't had any in a week and a half. So I think you know, your day in, day out diet, the more superfoods and the more highly nutrient dense foods you can have in your diet, the better off you're going to be. But you also have to be realistic and, you know, a Snicker or a Reese's cup, if you're a sweet eater, or a cookie every once in a while is not bad. It just doesn't need to be every day in large amounts. Or for me, it doesn't need to be large amounts of chips and hot sauce every day.
All right, so while you're talking about hot sauce, that was one of the things I really thought it was pretty easy for us to, if we're making our own hot sauce, you said we can sneak stuff in there.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I, in the presentation that you saw that kind of perpetuated this, I don't know if you remember, but my husband was in there, and he learned a lot of things about what he'd been eating the last 6 months, because I literally was sneaking things into his diet that he had no idea that he was eating. So a couple of things that I do is I do make my own hot sauce. And depending on what time of year it's in, I'll use all fresh ingredients. So fresh tomatoes, fresh jalapenos, fresh garlic. And then I do add a little bit of salt. And speaking of superfoods, for men in particular, what they found is that cooked tomatoes are really good for the prostate. So there's something in when tomatoes get cooked. So that's going to be your salsas, your marinara sauces, that stuff like that. So cooked tomatoes are actually good for guys. But some of the things that I have snuck into my hot sauce are pureed carrots. So I'll cook some carrots, and when I'm using like my blender, I'll just put those into the with the tomatoes. And you know, it's not enough that it really alters the flavor, and it's not enough to where it turns the hot sauce orange, but it's enough to where you know, I'm getting some of that those colored vegetables in. Just the other day, I had actually cooked some potatoes in the oven, and didn't serve all of the sweet potato. So I was making hot sauce, and I was like, "Hey, I'm going to put some of this sweet potato in." So I pureed it, and I, you know, when it's soft, you can just even use a fork and put it in the hot sauce. And I just gave it a good shake with my arms and hands, and you know, I ate some the next day, and I could see a few little specks of orange in there, but so I was getting some of those nutrients in there that I might not get normally. And that particular day, I was actually eating it over, using the hot sauce as a salad dressing over some baked fish and then some greens. And so I was getting my nutrients and my hot sauce fix in the same meal.
And then avoiding the bad stuff being the potato chips or the...
And that, you know, that's another thing, and I don't know how much time we have left or if we're going to get to this, but, you know, one of the things I had talked about was the preparation of your food. So, you know, the baby carrots or the, you know, large carrots or cauliflower or broccoli, all of those are really good for you. The thing that's bad is when you you dunk them in the ranch or blue cheese dressing, and, yeah, you're still getting the benefit of that broccoli, but you're actually really increasing probably the bad fats from the ranch dressing and the blue cheese dressing. So just be real aware of how you prepare the superfoods, because you can not turn them into bad foods per se, but you can make their consumption not as good for you depending on how you actually prepare them.
All right, so do any of y'all here make your own salsa?
My grandma does.
I do.
I think somebody brought one for the Christmas thing we... Who was?
Lorena.
All right, so here is the deal. Did y'all take notes on what she was saying? Or y'all can listen to it later? Some of the things that you can puree carrots or even sweet potato. What were some of the other things, Dr. Sandlin?
I always will put onions in there. Another thing, not on the salsa deal, but another thing that I've learned how to do, and this is really interesting, is to make pizza crust out of cauliflower.
Pizza crust?
And I don't know in the presentation that you saw if we had done that, but
we had two different types of pizzas. One, I think so, you said was like chai seed or something. I don't know.
That was the chickpea.
Chickpea.
But the other one was cauliflower. So do I have time to give the recipe real fast? It's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna give it to that in just one second.
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal. On Friday, this Friday, so what? 3 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
If you make your own salsa and include some of this stuff, then we'll have a sampling here in class.
Oh.
Got it? So you got to use...
What?
Do what?
And eat it with what?
Chips.
We can do the good and the bad thing. We're testing out salsas, recipes here. But we got to include some superfoods. So like the
carrots or the
cooked tomatoes, since I'm a guy and I need cooked tomatoes. And she said pureed carrots, pureed sweet potatoes, onions. Those are really good for you.
Any of the peppers, green peppers, yellow peppers, bell peppers, either pureed or just diced up in there.
All right, so I'll get some chips. I'll bring chips on Friday. If you bring salsa, then we're having a tasting...
I don't have a blender.
...tasting contest.
I have one. I'll make some.
All right, so maybe you can partner up with somebody. But
I might be having a road trip to Pasadena on Friday.
All right, so we are, you know, predominantly Hispanic here. So, you know, then, like, salsa is kind of one of those things that they... have frequently, so you know,
right?
So it should be pretty
yummy,
good.
Yummy.
A little sampling here. So, all right, so we're moving on from salsa because we got a pretty good idea there. But go ahead and tell us about some of your pizza stuff.
Okay, so some of the pizza stuff, if you take a head of cauliflower, and I just keep it whole, and we'll put it in a big pot, turn it upside down where the florets are toward the bottom of the big pot, and boil it. And then, so until it gets soft, so you can kind of stick a knife in there until it gets kind of soft. And take it out, let it drain for a little bit, and then cut the florets off. And then basically take each of those and use a cheese grater. And it's called ricing it. And so you just use the largest blade kind of on your cheese grater, and you rice the cauliflower. And then basically for every cup of riced cauliflower, you add probably one egg and about a half a cup of low-fat mozzarella cheese. And so like a regular head of cauliflower usually is about 3 cups of riced cooked cauliflower. So to that, I would add probably one egg and maybe a full cup of cheese. Anyway, you blend all that together, and then you lay it out onto a pizza pan. And I've had pretty good success using parchment paper on the pizza pan. And I would spray it with like some Pam or use something so it doesn't stick. But just bake that, and then put all your pizza toppings on top of that. And I guarantee you, you will not know that you're eating cauliflower. Promise.
So good. So you can pick it up like regular pizza?
Yeah, you can pick it up and it was not going to be gigantic pieces probably, but it's very tasty. And I've even used egg substitutes like egg beaters or even just egg whites in place of regular eggs. If you're worried about a lot of people don't like to eat the yolk out of eggs. So pretty good.
All right. So we got the crust. We got the cauliflower crust on our
on your pizza.
So we could do cooked tomatoes, or we could even do salsa like you were just talking about. But
yeah, you could do something like that. Or so you could even just slice non-cooked tomatoes. Just take them and slice them lengthwise or crosswise. And then, think about mushrooms and onions and peppers and maybe some, like I've gotten to where we eat a lot of turkey bacon or ground turkey. I use a lot of ground turkey in like spaghettis and stuff like that. So you can put some meats on there if you want to. And, a little bit of low-fat mozzarella cheese and have a pretty good pizza substitute.
And now you were talking about your husband earlier.
Yes.
How old is he?
He's a late 50s.
Late 50s, and he's still kind of a pizza or hamburger and fries, nachos kind
of
guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yes. He actually is quite the runner and does like marathons and even longer races than that. So, but he's actually also a very picky eater. So it's a bit of a challenge to take some of the traditional foods like pizza or, spaghetti and, try to make them a little healthier for him. So basically if he doesn't know what he's eating, he'll eat it. Sometimes if he starts learning, like you put carrots in the hot sauce or you put, another thing I do is, if I'm grounding beef, like for spaghetti sauce, I'll take, like a half a can of black beans and puree them and then just interject that with the meat as I'm cooking it. And it just it increases the volume of that ground beef, but it lowers the fat content per proportion. And you're adding black beans are a very good source of protein, good vitamin source and less fat. So I've done that before, and then I'll use it in spaghetti sauce, chili. I'll use it on top of pizza as a pizza topping, and you would never know that there's some beans in there.
Yeah, we use black beans quite a lot to either, substitute for meat or to kind of, like you said, fill in or add in volume. Mm-hmm. And, half the time you can't really tell the difference, or we'll do turkey chili with black beans and then...
There you go. I did leave my... I'm away from home for a couple of days doing some other activities, including this, and I left a pot of chili for my husband, and I think there was a little too much thing snuck in. I asked him last night if he'd eaten it. He's like, yeah, but there's something kind of different about it. So I think he caught me. It still tastes good. It's not my normal chili. Mm.
So with him being a picky eater and liking the regular old, Papa John's or Pizza Hut greasy, unhealthy pizza, mm-hmm. how does he take to the cauliflower pizza with with the healthier toppings?
Well, I would say we do half and half. So we'll do a traditional pizza from one of the places in town, and then the next time we have pizza, we'll do the cauliflower pizza, and then the next time, we'll do a regular pizza. But I've taken that pizza to several events here at Texas A&M, where a lot of the health teachers are there. They go crazy about it, and they're like, "You got to give me this recipe. This is so good." Because when you really start thinking about eating pizza, the crust is just what kind of holds it all together. The flavor from a pizza really comes from what you put on top. So if you can make the crust a little bit better for you, what you put on top is where all the flavor kind of comes from. And I use a lot of, if I have it, fresh oregano, fresh basil, fresh parsley, some of those things. But even if you just have the dried versions of those, all of those spices help flavor up any of the foods that we're talking about. I'm a big fan of garlic too. So.
Oh, me too.
You can't put garlic on it. Why are you eating it? That's my philosophy.
My mom gets like all creeped out because I can eat a garlic by itself, and she thinks it's weird.
Ooh, yummy! That sounds good to me.
Uncooked.
Yeah, just like that, like in little pieces. Uncooked. Me too. I can eat that uncooked.
Ooh.
My mom thinks it's weird.
I like adding garlic to stuff, but I don't know if that's normal.
My mom says
it's not normal.
But hey, it's healthy. It's superfood, and you're not even adding in any extra oils or anything else. So
yeah, or like my sister, she got me a salad that it had four big shrimps, and then it had like all the greens, and it had black beans on it. It had mangoes. It had strawberries. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It had a mix of fruits and vegetables. It was good.
All right, so Dr. Sandler, we were talking about cheese or cheese for the pizza, or even for people with cheese on their salads. And we were talking about color, the yellow or orange. Does that make a difference? And as far as the cheese, or it's cheese is pretty much all the same.
Well, I'm not a cheese expert, and I really like cheese a lot. I just try to eat it in moderation. I don't know that the color really has that much to do with the nutritional value. What I try to do is, particularly like with the pizzas and stuff like that, use the low-fat mozzarella. I do know, and I don't have a list in front of me, but I do know that there are some that are lower in fat than others. But the nice thing about those dairy products is they're high in calcium. And so we were talking about tomatoes for guys. Having lots of calcium is really good for females. So if you think about osteoporosis, again, not necessarily just a female disease, but you hear of a lot of females that have trouble when they get older. And so the calcium that you can get in milk and cheese and those dairy products will be helpful. But so I try to stay with, like I said, the low-fat mozzarella cheese with like the pizza stuff. I kind of like a lot of the white cheeses like Swiss cheese and Havarti cheese, just because I like the flavor. But I honestly can't say much about the nutritional value. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's all right.
Okay.
Sprung that one on you. All right, so we talked about salsa and pizza. So what are some other ways we can kind of – we talked about black beans. You made some sort of, I think, brownies.
A couple of things, let's say. I think the thing that you're thinking about is it was right before or right after Thanksgiving that we did that presentation. And so I actually made the middle of a pumpkin pie, and I think I put either no crust, or sometimes I make it with graham crackers. I'll just lay graham crackers in the bottom of a pan, and that actually acts as the crust. So again, a little less fat, a little less sugar associated with that type of crust, as opposed to like the regular. I have a friend in Virginia that makes homemade pumpkin pie crust with lard. I mean, it tastes good, but there's nothing worse for you than good old lard. So try to stay away from that. But in that pumpkin pie that you ate, I had put in the pumpkin, which is a superfood. I had put in sweet potatoes. I had put in the pureed carrots. And so that was one of the things that we served at that. And again, if you use the correct spices, so in there, your cinnamon, your nutmeg, allspice, some of those items, you really can't tell that there's these quote-unquote superfoods even in there. It tastes just like a pumpkin pie, particularly the pumpkin pie center. And I actually know a lot of people that just like the center of the pumpkin pie, irregardless of the crust. But if you had to have me name my very favorite, without question, way to get superfoods into my diet is smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
I am like the smoothie queen. Mm-hmm. So I'll even put things like, my basic smoothie recipe is yogurt, dark berries, and banana. And then I will put pretty much anything else I can find in my cupboard that's good for me that I might not eat otherwise in there. So even spinach, kale, so those dark green lettuce and dark green vegetables. I've put cooked I've never used tomatoes. I should do that. I've put cooked carrots in there, sweet potatoes in there. And then there's a lot of things like flaxseed oil, which we haven't talked about, which you can get in liquid form or, the oil will be in liquid form or just flaxseed in a powder form. So those are all things that you can add. Sometimes I'll put oatmeal in there. Oatmeal has been demonstrated to have a cholesterol-lowering effect, so that's definitely on should be on everyone's list of superfoods. So, gosh, sometimes I'll, even instead of yogurt, I'll use just skim milk. Put avocados in there. I'd like to experiment, and the ladies I'm seeing on the screen here might like this. I'd like to experiment with putting jalapenos in there. So have a little sweet with a little heat. Yeah, I see them shaking their head. So I'll have to get back to you and see if I can create something that's tasty with the berries and jalapenos. I don't know. I've said that to a couple of people and they're kind of turning their nose up, but I'll go for it.
Yeah, you'll have to get back to
me. Smoothies are my way of really sneaking things in, but then really just getting a lot of superfoods packed into a little area.
I used to put granola in my smoothies and oatmeal.
There you go. That's good.
I eat granola in my
yogurt. Here, just get closer.
Yogurt.
Can't hear you.
Oh,
yeah, get your yogurt in.
Yeah, I put it in my yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
All right, so one of the really good or tasty superfoods that you had was made by Hershey's. Tell us about that real quick.
There you go. It's something that you may have around your house right now, being that Valentine's Day was last week, but it's dark chocolate. So there's some properties in that dark chocolate that it seems like for women tend to have a little bit more benefit. And I think probably more than anything, it helps satisfy a lot of people's sweet tooth sweet teeth, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think the key there is moderation. So if you went and bought a whole bag of dark chocolate, after one or two, you're probably getting past the actual health benefits of dark chocolate and into the gorging yourself because you like sweets property. But dark chocolate has been demonstrated to have some health benefits, I think particularly for females. And that was a real hit in that presentation that you were in, I believe.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
All right. So I think Chris is going to have one more question, and then probably after that, they'll have to go to lunch.
Okay.
So.
Oh, where can we find recipes that include these foods?
Well, one of the suggestions that I would have, and it was interesting because I kind of keep up with the notion of superfoods just for my own benefit. But one of the things I found while kind of doing keeping myself up to date with information about superfoods is certainly the internet is a great place. And what I really found is that a lot of the large health associations have their own lists of superfoods. So the American Cancer Society, the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes Association. And so they have their own lists of superfoods. And then quite often they have recipes associated with those. So I would say the first thing would be if you have some specific reasons maybe to be wanting to eat superfoods. So if you have a lot of diabetes in your family and you go to their website, or maybe you have a family that has quite a bit of cancer and you go to the Cancer Society website. I would start there, number one, with the foods that they recommend, and then also look there for recipes. But then the other thing, what's happened to me is just good old experimentation in the kitchen. And if you see a list of superfoods, or maybe something we've said today has piqued your interest in superfoods, start experimenting yourself, and then maybe you can give the next presentation on superfood recipes, because that's how I learned too, is just talking to other people and experimenting with what they say they do. The cauliflower recipe that I was telling you guys about, my sister-in-law's sister taught me that a couple of Thanksgivings ago, and then since then I've been making it, and all my friends are now making it and using it as a substitute for pizza crust for their kids, for their husbands, just for the health benefits. So I would say recipes start, you know, maybe with the internet. And again, just be a good consumer of what you see and read on the internet. Make sure it's from a reputable source. But then just get in the kitchen and experiment, and then talk to your friends and see what they're doing.
All right. So I like that. You kind of go with what you're already eating and then just find ways to substitute stuff in.
Absolutely.
So that way you're not completely changing everything. You're just, well, let's just take what I already like and make it a little bit better.
Right. And the nice thing about a lot of the foods that we're talking about, it's not like they're foods that you can't find in stores. And certainly, you know, there are seasons of the year where, let's say, certain fruits are more in season or less in season, and your vegetables, you know, I'm thinking about tomatoes, they're more available, let's say, in the summer. But it's not something that you can't get typically at, you know, most of your local grocery stores, and you just have to think about what's in season and what looks fresh. Generally speaking, if you can eat things that are fresh instead of cooked, it's a little bit better. And there are some exceptions to that, because there seems to be something associated with cooked tomatoes for men as opposed to raw tomatoes. But either way, you're still getting some health benefits regardless of that. But, you know, the nice thing, again, is that you can typically get the superfoods affordably at most of your normal grocery stores. It's not like you have to go to a special store and a special place, and, you know, they're difficult to find. You just have to really know what you're looking for and seek them out, and just make a good decision about, oh, let me get some oranges this week instead of Oreo cookies. Or my husband has a propensity for Bluebell ice cream, so I was actually ordered to quit actually buying that. He would actually skip the bowl and just eat it right out of the container. So
that way you don't have to clean the bowl. It's much easier.
You think like a man. That's exactly what he said. I'm just trying to save you a little time to clean. You don't have to clean the bowl if I just eat it right out of the container.
All right. It is time for me to let them go. Do y'all have any parting questions? All right. Well, tell Dr. Sandlin goodbye and thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good luck. I'd like Jeremy can shoot me an email about your salsa tasting on Friday.
Yeah, hopefully. All right. Yeah. So y'all remember, on Friday, if y'all bring the salsa, I'll bring the chips, and we can try all the different recipes, including the superfoods. So
there you go. Good luck.
Pretty much all the questions. I can continue to talk. Is there anything else you wanted to share or had to add, Dr. Sandlin?
No, I think I kind of went through the questions that you sent me this morning, and I think everything, we kind of touched on everything that you had sent me, and then I had written down a few extra things like the preparation, but I think that I talked about that in terms of it being, think about healthy preparation and healthy presentation instead of, you know, adding all the extra fat, let's say, with the broccoli and the ranch dressing and
right,
all of that. So I think we pretty much hit everything that I had written down. So if you can think of other questions that came up that you had or that other students had maybe while we were talking.
No, I mean, they had some pretty good comments in there, which was good. A lot of times they don't tend to say anything other than, you know, the written out questions. So they actually had, you know, their own experience to kind of throw in there with you. So
there you go. When you talk about food, everybody has a story.
Of course. do you have a website or blog that you put stuff out on or anything like that? Or,
you know, I don't. I'm so not technologically savvy.
Yeah, I was just wondering. That's okay.
Yeah. So,
is there a specific site that you kind of recommend to get little tips about the superfoods?
Well, I would say I get a lot of good information from the websites I was just talking about. So American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, WebMD has a lot of good information about nutrition, disease prevention. I would say that would be one that I would recommend. You know, I would just say generally that people who are going to be using the web to look for information, just make sure that it's coming from a reputable source. And it's hard to say what that is without actually looking at a specific website and sort of making a judgment about it. But I would say you can pretty much count on things, you know, coming from, let's say, MD Anderson, if you're talking about things related to cancer, Sloan Kettering, Johns Hopkins. So keeping in mind some of the big hospitals and medical groups and physicians that might be putting information out there. I think that's the most important thing. You know, Billy Bob's supplement site or something like that, I would say you have to be a little bit more careful about.
Yeah, we've talked before, but, you know, what the student's reputable means, the first thing that pops up. So
yeah, the one that is the top of the list.
Yep.
So I would say just be a little bit careful about that.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, if you don't have anything else, then I'll let you go and enjoy your time stinking foods in and eating your beets at your brother's house, and I'll close out the podcast by myself.
All right. Thank you. Hey, I may shoot you an email about a couple other topics that would be fun to do if you're open to that.
I am always open.
Okay. I'll send you an email.
All right. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. So if you're still listening live, I'm going to close it out. Or if you're listening later, I'm going to close it out. People that support us, I mentioned earlier, we had a grant from Donors Choose. I had an anonymous donor donate like $100, and then some other people, my mom donated, and some people from the church I used to go to growing up donated, and they're like, you know, hey, next time you have something, let us know. So typically I don't promote it just kind of happens to get funded by somebody, but this time I did, and people were like, let me know, I want to support you, I want to help you, I want to do something. And so, like I said earlier, it's really encouraging for me and uplifting for me. But half the people that I'm talking to here are athletic trainers at high schools, so find somebody to help you support. You know, we're getting Xboxes because I wrote a grant, so for all five high schools we're going to get an Xbox so that we can learn rehab and teach our kids how to prepare them for what's coming up. So, you know, of course if you need help you can always email or ask me, but there's lots of places out there for you to get funding. You just have to do the work and go after it. Be prepared to fail. You know, I've not received several different grants, and so I just keep going after it, keep building upon it. And of course, my beautiful wife, Sarah, is the editor in chief, and she's the one that makes everything make sense. So you do need somebody that is like that, that can help you kind of make sure your words make sense to everybody. But go after it, get the grant. So the Education Foundation, we've already ordered the Xboxes, so they should be coming in this week or next. And we've already, and then the stuff from Donor's Shoes should be coming in. So we have another couple set of headphones and microphone and things like that to help improve the sound quality. And then, of course, if you want to get CEUs for listening or and joining in or being part of the conversation, then you have to be a member of GHATS, GHATS.org, G-H-A-T-S, and then you can go to the members area and fill out the form there. And then once you meet the requirements, then we will send you a certificate for listening and joining and part of the podcast. So we definitely, I'm excited about the opportunity to bring CEUs just for being part of a interactive talk show. So Dr. Sandlin gave us some great advice for our words of wisdom, and that's take what you're already doing and just modify it slightly. So add in some pureed carrots or pureed sweet potato into your salsa. Put a little bit more color into what you're already doing. All right. So that's not just food color, but, you know, by adding bell peppers or whatever else into your what you're already eating. So just mix in a little bit more color. Of course, if you want to contact us, all right, so sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Again, I've only had the site for a couple of weeks, so it's pretty good, and I keep kind of adding to it and making sure it's up and running. sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, that's where you should be able to find everything about the podcast, the episodes, the live stream, information about the CEUs, and that kind of thing there. So sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. You can watch live almost every Wednesday via Ustream, join the chat, today's meet, or the live chat on our website. There you go. Twitter, PHS Sports Med, Google Plus, PHS Athletic Training, Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. The office phone is 713-740-0310, extension 01312. And actually, I believe the Google Plus, I think it's actually Sports Medicine Broadcast. Now, I think I looked at changing it so that it's specifically for this. So let me look at the Google Plus there and see. But if you friend me or add me to your circles, then I think it'll show other things that I follow or whatever. So the Google Plus, look for Sports Medicine Broadcast. And then if you just happen to want to have all the podcasts there, you can listen to the, you can download the app that's on Android. So for Jeremy, the rest of the sports medicine students, and Dr. Sandlin from Texas A&M University, that's a wrap.